It would appear that being a member of a gym is becoming more and more popular. Yes, and I don't just mean we make our New Year's resolutions, go for a couple of months and then stop. They are becoming a bit of a thing we do on a weekly basis, some of us a day-to-day basis, but there are difficulties if you have a visual impairment. Now, where it's easy perhaps to speak with staff to try and get some help and support there, the equipment itself can be very inaccessible. Now, Rika has carried out some research on this particular topic, and we have with us Chris Lofthouse to tell us more. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
So tell me first of all about Rika.
Well, Rika is the Research Institute for Consumer Affairs. We are a consumer research charity, and we have a panel of older and disabled people, including blind and partially sighted people, and we test products and services. And in this particular case, we did test fitness equipment with blind and partially sighted people, and we looked at really the consoles of exercise bikes, rowing machines, treadmills and cross trainers.
Now, they are becoming more interactive and multimedia. Now, a lot of the gym equipment, they have screens, you can exercise with all sorts of programs, surf the web, watch TV, but with that comes, I would imagine, a lot of accessibility problems because they do tend to be touchscreen.
Yes, that's right. It's the actual console that we were looking at. And, you know, there's two types. There's the LED, where they do have a slightly raised buttons with some tactile. But then when you're getting to the flat screens and there's no tactile, then they're completely inaccessible. And then the sort of what you would call the color contrast or the block colors of where things are on the screen for people who do have a bit of sight, that they're in different places. The real trump card, if you like, is actually voice over technology. With voice over technology on, you know, products that now use the internet and access the internet, I won't name brands, but we all know what what we're talking about. Really, the voiceover technology is becoming more in the mainstream, and therefore it raises the question, well, why can't we have voice technology in gym equipment to enable access? I mean, not just for blind and partially sighted people, but it would benefit a lot of people.
With the research, tell me a bit about how that was carried out.
Yes, we went to three gyms in London with 20 blind and partially sighted people, and the famous researcher with the clipboard next to people and actually getting the user experience and marking down what the problems were. That was the actual practical research. The other side of the research was actually talking to the manufacturers and the suppliers, the industry, to get their perspective on it. And obviously, their barriers are they're driven as commercial organizations, so cost is a big issue. But really, to make the point about inclusive design at the beginning of the design process, so that these equipment are made as accessible as possible.
I mean, you and I will know this. We've talked before about access to equipment and technology. And even, yeah, you know, when we look at other products, it always seems to come back to, if it's done at the drawing board stage, it can be built in and carried on through upgrades, redevelopments of equipment. But when it comes to retrofitting, the expense can really kick in then.
That's absolutely right. I mean, when we spoke to the manufacturers, once they've made a commitment to the production process, including the materials, you know, the fabrics and the whole design of everything, doing any add-ons just increases the cost. So the key thing from a sort of message point of view is to really involve inclusive design and user input really at the beginning of the process, as we both agree on, Alan, yes.
We also have with us Mike Brace. You are visually impaired yourself and you use the gym. Is all this ringing true to you when it comes to difficulties with access?
Very much so. You've got the two issues potentially there. You've got staff attitude if, for instance, most of the machines aren't accessible, so you've got to then rely on a member of staff who's willing and able to set the machines for you. And then if that's not available, the fact that the machines themselves aren't accessible. So you really are quite stuck both ways, that you need the attitude there of helping, but you also need then the accessibility of the machines to offset that as well.
So as a service user, if you like, of gyms and the products, and what would you like to see? Other ways that you think it could be made easier? Because obviously, as Chris says, you know, expense is a big problem here.
Well, I think the key issue really is to see this almost the business model of using the gym. They're all out to try and get more people to use their gyms and obviously pay memberships, etc. And so rather than it being seen as some sort of area of benevolence, you know, of doing charity work to enable the disabled to then participate, it's actually a business model that you're looking to get thousands of more people using the gyms. And if part of that is to get the accessibility issues better, both attitudes as well as accessible equipment, then obviously there will be a major way forward. And Chris has already pointed out that the key element is not looking at retrofitting, but actually getting equipment. And most of this equipment is absolutely fairly easy. I mean, we're talking the cost of microchips now being pretty minimal in terms of the added cost. So it's getting that done at the point of design, so that basically they're built in to a standard system that is easily then accessible, either by linking it to an iPhone or standalone equipment that can either talk to you through an earphone or directly.
Chris, Mike, making an interesting point there about the business model. When you consider in the UK, looking at around 2 million people at the moment, and that number growing on a daily basis, who have sight loss, it's a huge market that they could potentially be missing out on.
Absolutely. And not only, you know, VI group, as you say, other people with different conditions or people who are getting older, when the equipment is easy to use, and obviously voice is a key component of making things easier to use, it will increase the number of potential gym users.
What about the response then from the manufacturers and perhaps the owners of the gyms? Are they open to this? Was there any kind of light at the end of the tunnel?
I'm chairing a group for one of the key gym providers, and their big emphasis is about inclusion and how to get better inclusion. And the business model certainly is a bit of a driving force for there. And I think they see this as a potential way forward, because I think they have 12,000 staff. So trying to get a training module is going to be difficult enough. But if the machinery was then at least partly or fully accessible, then that would, you know, create a major boost in terms of what the task would then be, because the users could come in and actually end up using the equipment fairly independently, and then the minimal additional input from staff, you know, would be something that they could probably manage quite well. So I think they're really interested in these type of aspects, because if they then say, look, we purchase hundreds of these machines across our gyms and this is what we're starting to want, then I think the manufacturers will start to apply their minds to providing those bits of equipment.
Well, you think you'd have recognised that people want these displays, they want to, you know, use their social media, surf the web, you know, watch television, music videos. They've obviously done research which says their customers want that and have responded to that. You would hope that, you know, by pointing out the benefits of making their equipment accessible, then perhaps when they're renewing equipment, they may say to the manufacturers, well, you know, we'd like this to be more accessible. And another point you made, Mike, was with more and more, I'm going to take visually impaired people as an example here, using smart devices like phones and tablets, you know, having the machines just talk to an accessible app and vice versa could make a massive difference as well. So you're not really, you know, changing the machines in any way, you're just making them communicate with an app.
They've been traditionally providing gyms for younger people, basically, and had a ready market. And I think now the competition's there, now the gyms are getting bigger, they're actually now open at all hours to cater for people who are doing night shifts and et cetera, et cetera. I think it's now that the pen is dropping, that they need to do more to attract more and more punters. I mean, I was speaking to the people at the gym I use, and of course they're on ever increasing targets to get membership up and income coming into the gymnasium. So I think the time is right for this notion of the business model to actually start kicking in and getting in their consciousness to say, actually, this is a business opportunity and it's one that we need to grasp as a way of increasing attendance across the board. And as Chris said, it's not just the vision impairment. I think what we often sometimes doing go down the silo route in terms of thinking this is only going to be useful for us. But if you look at better displays for people who are deaf, if you look at people with learning disability that can perhaps use some of the audio technology more effectively than some of the written stuff, then basically it's a win-win for a lot of people using the gym.
Mike, it'd be good to catch up with you and to get your feedback on the meeting which you'll be chairing. Chris, in the meantime, if people would like to learn more about the RICA research, how can they go about doing that?
Yes, well, just to give a plug, we did the research funded by Thomas Pocklington Trust, and we work with Metro Blind Sport. There's a summary report available from the Pocklington Trust. The report is also available on the RICA website, which is www.rica.org.uk. And both the full report and the summary paper are available on audio CD and in Braille from Thomas Pocklington Trust. Telephone number is 020-8996-1937.
And let's hope many people do have a look at this and feedback to the gyms themselves. Nothing like speaking to the gym owners and managers and so on to try and encourage them to look at accessibility. But for the meantime, to Mike and to Chris, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much.